Today, Shir's in Masechta Bava Basra on Daf Ayin. We will begin two lines from the bottom of the Amid on Daf Samach Tes Amid Beis, with the last word on the line, Amar Rav. Before we begin, a brief Hagdama concerning the sale of a field with trees. The Rashbam on Daf Samach Ches Amid Beis, when he is explaining the Mishnah there, on the third line of his explanation of the Mishnah, sums up which trees are sold as part of a field when it's not explained clearly. The Rashbam says, "Shekol ilonis b'chlal soda echad gefanim ve'echad kol ha'ilon chutz michruv hamurkov v'sadin hashikma." In these few words, the Rashbam has told us the main ruling that we've learned in the last few dafim, that when a person sells a field stam, he is including all the trees, including vines, with the only exception of a grafted churuv, which is an older carob tree that can accept a grafting, and it's therefore a chashuv churuv tree, and also with the exclusion of sadna shikma, a sycamore tree which has been pruned and it is creating new saplings. It's also a chashuva tree, and that is also not part of a stam mechira of a sada. But all other trees are included. In yesterday's shir, we learned that if someone specified that I'm selling you a field and I'm not including labar milonai, I'm not including the trees, then the trees are not included. Even regular trees would not be included. However, as our Gemara is going to explain, there are certain insignificant trees that are not known as Ilonim, and even if he specified in the shtar that I'm selling you a field without trees, those insignificant trees would be included in the sale of the field. And now Rav is going to tell us what makes a regular tree chashuv or not chashuv, that it should be included in the sale if it's not chashuv. Amar Rav, said Rav, kol she'oilun loy bechevel have shir, as the Rashbam tells us, two lines from the bottom, le'il koi heched amar le labar milani. This is going back on yesterday's Gemara, at the end of yesterday's shir, that if somebody sold a field and he said that I'm selling it to you except for the trees, so Rav is explaining that the following trees are considered chashuv and they're shir. He's leaving it for himself and he's not including it in the sale. Which ones are those? Those are the trees that one goes up on a string, a rope, to get to the top of the tree. That is called a chashuv tree. And if he said labar milani, that I'm not including the trees in the sale of the field, those would be the trees that he is shear, that he's keeping for himself. But kol she'ein oilun loy bechevel, but if they're small trees that he doesn't need a rope to get to the top of the tree, so that's insignificant, and that is considered part of the mechira, even if he wrote labar milonai. So kol she'ein oilun loy bechevel loy havishir, that he is not keeping for himself, even if he stayed in the shtar, labar milonai. The Rashbam tells us, as we're going to see on the top of the next Amud, that Rav is speaking specifically about a dekel, about a palm tree, where the peiros of the palm tree are all the way on the top of the tree. So if the tree is that tall that he needs a rope to climb up the dekel, so then it's considered a chashuv tree, and by writing bar milonai, he is not including this dekel in the sale. However, if it's a short tree where he doesn't need a rope to get up to the top of the tree, so then, even if he wrote labar milani, it is considered part of the soda and it is included in the mechira. And now we turn to Daf Ayin Amid Aleph. V'dayone goyla. The Rashbam tells us from the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Yud Zayin Amid Beis, that the term Dayane Goyla, the judges of the diaspora, that refers specifically to two Amaroyim, Shmuel, and Karna. Wherever we find Dayane Goylem, we're going to have this term a few times on our daf. Dayane Goylem refers to Shmuel and Karna. So they disagree, it would seem, with Rav. But Dayane Goylem Amri, they say, Kol Sheho Oil Kaifshoi, as the Rashbam explains, that if someone is going with an ox and a yoke, and the tree is in the way, and the ox with the yoke is able to go right over that small, insignificant tree, so then that's part of the sada. Loi havi shir. Then even if he wrote labar milonoi, he's not keeping it for himself. He is including it in the mechira. But kol she'ena oil kaif shoy. But if the yoke is not able to bend the tree under the yoke and subjugate the tree to its domination, it stands in the way of the ox, and the ox is going to have to go around that tree when it's threshing the property. So if it's such a significant tree, and he wrote Labar Milonai, then Havishir, then he is leaving it over for himself, and it is not included as part of the Bechira. So it would seem that Rav and Dayane Goyla, Rav versus Shmuel and Karna, is a machloikis, says the Gemara V'loi Pligi. It's not a machloikis. They're speaking about two different kinds of trees. Rav is speaking about Habedikli, by a palm tree. So by a palm tree, if it's very tall, you're going to need a rope to climb to the top to get the dates from the palm tree. But if it's short, you will not need a rope. However, says the Rashbam, other trees are not dependent on a rope, because even if it's a very tall tree, since it has many branches, a person would be able to climb up the tree on the branches. He wouldn't need a rope to pull himself up to the top of the tree. So that would not be a criterion for the column, for other trees. That criterion of the column would not apply to other trees. Ha bilani. Here we're speaking about Shmuel and Karna referring to regular trees. So regular trees, it depends whether a yoke with an ox could drive over them or whether the yoke and the ox would have to go around them. Says the Rashbam that this would not be a criterion for a palm tree. Because by a palm tree, even if the ox and the yoke could drive right over the palm tree and bend the palm tree, but yet if it's a tall tree, which would require a rope to get up to the top of the tree, then it would be considered chashiv, and it would not be included in the sale, even if the yoke and the ox could ride right over and bend this tall palm tree. So therefore, it's not a machloikis, but rather the rope is a criterion concerning the kolim and being able to ride and bend the tree with the ox and the yoke. That's a criterion by other the kolim, whether it is chashiv or it is not chashiv. Boy, minei Rav Acha Bar Huna Rav Sheshes. Rav Acha Bar Huna had a question from Rav Sheshes. What happens if a person wrote in a shtar? Chutz michruv pliny. As we mentioned from the Rashbam, we've had this many times, starting with the Mishnah on Daf Samech Ches Amid Beis, the last words of that Mishnah, the last words on the Amud, V'loya Sechrov Amurka V'loya Sadna Shikma. And there we learned that even if a person would write in a shtar that I'm including Kol Masha B'toicha, it would not include these two very chashuva fields, as the Rashbam has explained to us many times in the previous dafim, that they are considered so chashuv, they are like a field in and of themselves. And therefore, they're not included with the other field which he's selling. Now, therefore, the question over here of Rav Acha Bar Huna that he's asking Rav Sheshes is, the person didn't have to write in the shtar, chutz michurv ployni, or chutz misadin ployni. I'm selling you this field except for that carob tree, or that sycamore tree, which is a prune sycamore tree, which is chashuv. Automatically, when you sell a field, those are not included. But what happens if he specified it and wrote it in the shtar? What is his intention by writing this extra term, which he didn't have to write in the shtar? Do I say, Oisei chruv hu duloi kani harshar chruvim kani? Do I say that what he's trying to do is really limit his zechusim? He really has a zechus in all the churuvim, in all the cut pruned sycamore trees, in all the carob trees that are grafted. But he specified only one specific one. I'm not selling you. So maybe by adding this term, he's trying to say that the rest of the churuvim and the sadna shikma, I am selling to you. Do I say that? Oy dilmo, or perhaps shar churuvim nami loikani. The loikeach is not koina this one, and neither is he koina all the others as well. Why did this person put in this extra phrase that I'm not selling you the churuv if the churuv anyway is not part of the mechira? So the Rashbam says perhaps he was being miyapakoichoi. He was trying to give himself an extra schus. And what is the extra schus? According to Rabbi Kiva, who holds that ha-moicher ba'ayin yofa moicher, you're always selling it in a benevolent way, you're not keeping the derech, the pathway, the access way to the boyer or to the tree, to yourself. So maybe he's writing this terminology, which he didn't have to write, chutz, it means to say that not only am I not selling you the churuv, but I'm also keeping for myself the access way. I don't want to have to pay you a right to access my tree. According to the Rabbanan, says the Rashbam, who hold always that ha-moicher ba'ayin ra'hu moicher, and I never give up my access rights. I never have to pay you for the access rights. So what's he adding this? Not only does he have the tree, he has the access right automatically as well. On this, the Rashbam says that perhaps this particular carob tree, this grafted carob tree, for whatever reason, is very precious to him. And he wants to keep it. Perhaps it gives him a lot of fruits. Perhaps he's had this tree for a long time. He doesn't want to part with it. Whatever his sentimental reason is, or financial reason is, this particular one, he wanted to make sure that everybody understands that he's not selling it. The other trees, he was soymuch. He didn't mean to sell the other cheruvim or sadna shikma either. But he was soymuch that any mechira of a field does not include these chashuva trees. But on this particular one, for whatever attachment he has to that particular tree, he wanted to spell it out, rochel bitchak tana, I'm not including this as part of the sale. So do I say, this is the question of Rav Acha, do I say that by adding this extra phrase, which he didn't have to add, he is limiting his chusim in the other sycamore trees, in the other carob trees, that those are being sold as part of the field? Or do I say, no, he's not giving up his rights to the other cheruvim and sadna shikma? What he's trying to do is to give himself extra rights in this one particular cheruv or sadna shikma, whether it's the access way or whether he wanted to spell it out, rachel b'tchatana, to make sure that it is not part of the mechira. This is the question of Rav Acha bar Huna that he posed to Rav Sheshes. Amar Lei, Rav Sheshes responded, loy kanda, that the loikeach is not only, he's not kind of this one, he's not kind of the other ones as well. By adding the phrase, he's not, the moicher is not limiting his chusim, and he certainly doesn't give up his right to the sycamore tree and to the churuv that he specified, but neither is he giving up his right to the other churuvim and sadna shikmas as well. Esve, so they asked him a kasha from a brisa. Chutz mi churuv ployni, if somebody wrote in the Sharm selling you this field except from the churuv ployni, chutz mi sadn ployni, loy kana, the loy keich is not kaina them. My love, doesn't the brisa mean, oisai churuv hu loy kana? He's not kaina that churuv. Hashar churuvim kana. But the other churuvim he is kaina. By saying loy kana, lechayr the brisa means that he's not kaina this specific one, but the other ones he is kaina. The loy keich. So lechayr it's a kasha on Rav Sheshes, Amar Lei. So Rav Sheshes responded, loy, that's not the pshat in the brisa. Afilishar churuvim nami loy kana. He's not kind of the other churuvim as well. And that's the chiddush of the brisa, that even though he gave an extra lashon that he didn't have to give, he doesn't mean to give up his rights in the other churuvim, but even the other churuvim, the lekech, is also not kind of. Teda, I'll bring you a proof that this is correct. The ilu amar le sadai mechur la, chutz mi sadai ployinus. If somebody said, somebody had a number of fields, He sells the lekeach one field, and he writes in that I'm not selling you the field that's right, that borders the field that I'm selling to you. So will I say, Hahi hudulaikani hoachronaisakani? Will I say that, what did the person have to write? I'm selling you field A, and I'm not selling you field B. Obviously, if I write in the shtar that I'm selling you field A with these gevulim, these parameters of where the field exactly is, obviously I'm not selling you any other field. Why did I have to put in the shtar that I'm not selling you field B? So will we say, as the Rashbam, five lines after it gets very wide, the Rashbam says, "Ubishvil sha'amar shtus zeh chutz misada pliny ein lanu leimer shemacher mashalay ratzel limchor." The sada achas neschavel limchor v'lo shtei sadas. He wants to sell one. So just because he said a shtus, the Rashbam calls it a foolishness, that I'm not selling you field B, are we going to say that because I wrote I'm not selling you field B, we should deduce that not only am I selling you field A, but I'm selling you field C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, I'm selling you all those fields because I wrote a shtus that I'm not selling you field B, which I didn't have to write. Obviously, I'm not selling you field B. Would we say such a thing? Obviously not, because we know that the das at a meicher is only to sell field A. So we're not going to say, because of this extra phraseology, which is a shtus that he wrote in the shtar, that we should give the lekeach all the other fields. Ela leikana. Just because he wrote this extra language, this shtus, we don't say that the lekeach is kaina. He's not kaina all the other fields. So just like we have that halacha legabe selling of fields, hachinami leikana. So if he put in here, which we could say it's also a shtus, what did he have to write? Chutz mi chruv zeh, or chutz mi sadn ployni, except for that one. All of his chruvim, all of his sadna shikmas are not included in the mechira. What did you have to put in this extra phrase? So just because he put in the extra phrase, we do not say that from that we deduce that he is selling all the others. Hachinami loikana, the lekeach is not kind of the field he specified, the chruv and the sadna shikma that he specified in the shtar, but he's also not kaina all the rest. The moicher did not lose any of his chusim by putting in this extra phrase, which api alochi he did not have to put in.
Continues the Gemara, ve'ikad yamri, and some had a different version of the shaila and tshuva, the shaila from Rav Acha Bar Huna of Rav Sheshes, and the tshuva that Rav Sheshes gave him. They had a different version. Ve'ikad yamri bar minei Rav Acha Bar Huna Rav Sheshes, chutz mechatzi chruv ployni, chutz mechatzi sadn ployni mahu. As the Rashbam explains, concerning the first shaila, there was no question, as we brought a proof from the halacha of a field, that if somebody says, Sadi mechura lo chutz misada ployness, I'm selling you this field and not the field that is adjacent to it, do we say that I'm selling you all the other fields that I own? Of course not. Because in my mind, I only want to sell you this one and not any other. The same thing if I say, I'm selling you a field and not this churuv, I don't mean by implication that I am selling you all the other churuvim. The only reason I said and not this churuv is because I wanted to give myself more strength. I wanted to give myself a derech, according to Rabbi Akiva, according to the Rabbanan, and I wanted to make sure that this particular tree that I have an affinity to, I will be keeping it, but I didn't mean to imply that I am selling you all the other cheruvim, or sadan hashikmos. So that's a given. That's not a question according to the Ikkad Yamri. What is the question in a case where I say, I'm selling you this field, chutz, with the exception of chatzi cheruv ploini, half of that cheruv, or I'm selling you the field with the exception of chutz mechatzi sadn ploini, except for half of that sadn hashikma. Mao, what is the din here? So, shar cheruvin vadi loikani. As we said before, there's no question that the loikech is not koine any of the other cheruvim. I didn't mean to give up my rights to the other cheruvin by making this statement that I'm not selling you half of the cheruv ploini. But ha ma shashir ba'oisei chruv kani, what about the other half of this chruv, or the other half of the sadna shikmo, which I didn't say I'm keeping? Now it gets more difficult, because I'm already speaking about this very chruv, and in this very chruv I'm saying that I'm selling you the field except for half of this chruv. So here, certainly by implication, it seems that I'm telling you that I am going to sell you the other half. Because if I'm already speaking about this chruv, and I wanted to keep the entire chruv for myself, I should have said, I'm selling you the whole field and not this entire chruv. By splitting the chruv in half, here it would seem for sure that I mean to sell you the other half. Good. I don't mean to imply that I'm selling you the other chruvin. Those I'm certainly keeping. But at least the other half of this chruv, it would seem by implication that I am selling you. Oy Dilmore, perhaps a fill of mashashir, but oy chruv nami loikani. Or perhaps, even though I added a stipulation that I didn't have to add, because none of the cheruvim in the field are sold, and even though by saying half, I'm certainly implying that the other half I will sell you, because I'm only keeping half of this very cheruv for myself. It's very difficult to, if not impossible, to explain why I split this cheruv in half. Amar lei loikani. So the response, if this was the shaila from Rav Acha bar Huna to Rav Sheshes, Rav Sheshes responded that the lekeach, not only is he not koine the half which he specified, not only is he not koine the lekeach all the other cheruvin, but even the half of this cheruv, which the moicher did not mention, he does not mean by implication to give up his rights to that half. When a person adds a terminology in a shtar that he doesn't have to add, because according to Chazal, a mechira of a sada does not include a cheruv. So, and even if he adds it, and we have no way to really understand why he's adding it, he does not give up his chus, and we don't make any implications, and none of the cheruvim are sold to the lekeach. Not the half that he specified, not the half that he didn't specify, and none of the other cheruvim as well. Esve, we asked the kasha on this teretz, on this tshuva that Rav Sheshes gave to Rav Acha bar Huna. If somebody sold a field, chutz mechatzi cheruv ploini, chutz mechatzi sadan ploini, shar cheruvin loikan. So the Brisa says that the other cheruvim, he is not koine, the lekeach is not koine. My love, when you make such a statement that shar cheruvim loikana, my love, don't you mean that shar cheruvim hu loikana? We can make a deduction that it is the other cheruvim that are not part of the mechira that the lekeach is not koine. Hama shashir ba'oisei cheruv kana. But that which the moicher left over concerning that cheruv, where he said half of the cheruv goes to me, so lechayre, the other half does go to the lekeach. It's only shar cheruvim that does not go to the lekeach. Amar lei, so Rav Sheshes responded, loy, that is not correct. You did not make a good deduction. We will say that afilu mashashir ba'isei cheruv nami lekana. Even what he left over in this very chruv itself, and even though I don't have a good explanation of why he did that, still, the lekeach is not koine. And the Rashbam speaks out, what did he mean when he said shar chruvim lekana? He meant all the other chruvim, including the half of the chruv, which he didn't specify. That also is included in shar chruvim lekana. Teda, I'll bring you a proof. The ilu amar lei sadai mechura lachutz mechatzi sada ploini. If somebody sold to somebody else a field, and he said that this field is sold to you except for half of the field that is adjacent to it, so will I say hahu hu deloikana? It's only that half that he's not koina. Ha idach kana, but the other half he is kana. The lekeach will be kana. Will I make such a deduction? I'm selling you this field A. I'm not selling you half of B. So will we say that the other half of B he's kana? Certainly not. Because what did the Meicher have in mind? The Meicher had in mind that he only wants to sell one field and one field only. He doesn't want to sell him any other half. Ela loikani. Certainly we're going to say that the loikach is not koine, even the half of field B which the Meicher did not specify. So just like we're going to say that legabe a chotzi sade hachanami loikani, legabe a chotzi churuv, we're also going to say the same thing, that the Meicher did not give up any of its rights, even if he added a clause which he didn't have to add, and we really don't understand that clause, and we don't really have a good explanation for the clause, yet we will say that by adding it, he didn't mean to give up any of his chusim. The only way that the lekeach could be koine a churuv would be if in the shtar mechira it's written that I'm selling you this field, and I'm selling you this churuv. But if he doesn't explicitly write in the shtar that I'm selling you this churuv, any other way we will interpret that the Meicher is not giving up his chus on any half or any one of the many churuvim that he has in his property. And now, as the Rashbam explains, we're going to enter into a totally different sugya, which has really no shaychus with the halachas that we were just learning. And the only connection is because on the top of this Amud, it said Dayane Goyla. We said Dayane Goyla is Shmuel and Karna. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Yud Zayin Mabez, tells us that wherever it says Dayane Goyla, it refers to Shmuel Karna. So we're now, for the rest of this Daf, we're going to have a sugya that is connected with the Dayane Karna. And that's why we're bringing in this Inyan. Boy, mine Rav Amram, me Rav Chizda. Rav Amram had a shalom from Rav Chizda. If somebody gave a pekodin to his friend with a shtar, and what was the purpose of him giving it with a shtar? In order, as the Rashbam says, that the nifkad should not be able to say, lo yadam, that you never gave it to me. And then, after a few days, after a while, the mafkid came to the nifkid and he said, give me back what I gave you as a pekodin to hold. Va'omar loy hechzartim loch. And he said that I returned it to you already. So the case over here is that there's a shtar written with Edim, and the Rashbam points out, we have learned in Parcheskes Habatim, that a mafkid etzachaver be'edim ain't sark lahachzer be'edim. That if I give something to someone to watch with Edim, the Nifkad, who the Shoimer, who now has the Pekodin, does not have to return it with Edim. And the Shiloh over here is as follows. Mi Amrinen. Migudi boy Amr Nansu Mehemon Hashtanami Mehemon. Do I say that we believed the Shoimer? Because he has a Migui, he could have said this was Nansu. And if he would have said Nansu, he would have been believed. So now he's also believed. Oy Dilma, or maybe, a Debach puts in the word Motzi, Motzi Omerle, the Mafkid, could say to the Shoimer, Shtarcha biyadi, my boy, why do I have your shtar? If you wrote a shtar that I had deposited by you something to watch, and I have that shtar, when you gave me back what I gave you to watch, why did you not take back the shtar? Now, what exactly is the shayla over here? So the Rashbam explains that really the Shoimer has a migui. And a migui means that if he was a liar, he could have lied better. What could he have said? He could have said that an oinus happened, that he would have been believed from the Torah. Yes, he would have had to swear. As the Rashbam brings down the pasuk, Shvuas Hashem Tia Ben Shneyem. But the Torah gave the Shoimer the benefit of the doubt when he says that it was Nansa, that an accident happened and it was destroyed through no fault of the Shoimer, that the Shoimer is believed with a shvua. So when the Shoimer says, I returned it to the Mafkid, he has a migui. He could have said Nansu. And why is Nansu a better taina? If he was a liar, he could have lied better. Why is it better? Because there would be no issue with the shtar. Of course, you have the shtar. I'm not claiming that I gave it back to you and now give me back the shtar. I never gave it back to you. But something happened to it and the Torah frees me. I have to swear, but the Torah frees me. And later the Gemara is going to say that when I say Hechzartiv, and you're believing me to say Hechzartiv with a migri of Nansu, I'm going to have to swear on Hechzartiv as well. Because otherwise, there's no migri. What are you saying that if I'm a liar, I would have done a better lie, I would have said Nansu and I have no issue with the shtar. On Nansu, I would have to swear. On Hechzartiv, I don't have to swear. So we have to say that Hechzartiv, he also will have to swear. But now it's a good migui. If I was a liar, I could have said Nansu and I wouldn't have any issue with the shtar. Now that I said Hechzartiv, you're coming to me and saying, if Hechzartiv, if you gave it back to me, then you should have received back from me the shtar. So do I say that I have a migui of Nansu? Or do I say, no, the migui is not good because it's like, as the Rishbam explains, it's a migui b'makim eidim. Just like if Adim would say that we can testify, we know for sure that you never ever returned it. We were with the mafkid day and night, and at no point did you return it to the mafkid. So they would be believed, even though I have a migui, because a migui b'makim Adim doesn't work. Adim is the highest birur that the Torah gives. So we definitely would believe the mafkid, that it was not returned to him. So now, when I have a shtar, which you should have asked back when you returned it to me, if you returned it to me, and you didn't ask it back, so that's like there is Adim saying that you never returned it. It's as if there were Adim here. Because if you returned it, you would have asked back for the shtar. So do I say I have a migui, of Hechzartiv, the migui of Nansu, or do I say that shtorcha biyadi, my boy, is like Adim, and migui b'makim Adim doesn't work. Now the Rashbam speaks out that if this would be a milveh, so by a milveh there is no migui of oinis, because oinis, a milveh is leitzah nitnu. Milva means you're going to spend the money. You have a shibud, an obligation to make sure that the money that I lent to you, you return to me. So when we discuss milva, if I would say paraticha by milva, and the malva has the shtar, he could say shtar chabiyot my boy, and I wouldn't have a migui. However, here we're speaking about a pekodin. By a pekodin, I could say that I have a migui of Nansu, I have a migui. I have a migui, I could say Hechzartiv because I have a migui of Nansu. Or no, it's a migui Malkum Adim, that's the Shiloh. Amar Lei, so Rav Chizda responded and said, Mehemon, that he's believed. So Rav Sheshes says back, Rav Amram rather says back to Rav Chizda, V'leim Lei Shtar Chabiyot, my boy. What about that time of Shtar Chabiyot, my boy? Why isn't that like two Adim? And it should be migui b'makim Adim, and he shouldn't be believed. Amar Lei, Rav Chizda responded, Ula Taimeich, according to your reasoning, that it's Migui B'makim Adim, V'chi Amar Lei Nansu. If he would actually say Nansu, Mi Matzi Amar Lei Shtar Chabiyadi, my boy, could the Mafkid have said to the Shomer, what is your shtar doing in my hand? Of course not. Because the Shomer will say, I don't claim that I returned it to you. I never came to your house to return it and get back the shtar. I'm telling you it was Nansu. So there would be no counterclaim of Shtar Chabiyot, my boy. So we really have to understand what Rav Chizda is responding, because he's not saying Nansu. The Nansu is the Migui. He's saying Hechzartiv. And Hechzartiv, L'chayre, it is a good time to Shtar Chabiyot, my boy. What is Rav Chizda trying to prove from Nansu? So the way the Rashbam understands the Gemara, Rav Chizda is saying that when a person says Hechzartiv, and the other one says, Shtar Chabiyot, my boy, we cannot consider it like two Adim. Why? Because the Shomer can say, I returned it. I asked you for the shtar. You told me you don't know where the shtar is, but don't worry about it. And I didn't worry about it because in the back of my mind, I knew if push comes to shove and you would have the shtar and you would try to make a shtick here and come later with the shtar and say, where is my pekodin? You never returned it. I could always say Nansu, and I would be believed. So therefore, I didn't bother making sure that I would retrieve the shtar from you. So your shtar that you have is not such a raya that it's like two Adim, because I have a way to explain why I didn't make sure to take the shtar. That's what Rav Chizda is trying to say over here that since by Nansu, there's no claim of Shtar Chabiyari, my boy, that's why even if I said Echzartiv with a migui of Nansu, the reason I didn't go after the Shtar is because in the back of my mind, I knew that I could always say Nansu. And therefore, it's not considered migui b'makam Eidim. This is what Rav Chizda responded to Rav Amram Shaila. Amar Leh, as we turn to Daf Ayin Amid Bey, Soif Soif, there's another issue here. Ki Amar Leh Nansu, Lav Shvua Boy. What are you saying? We spoke this out already before, but now the Gemara is asking this issue. L'chayra, you're saying that Hichzartiv is believed with a migui of Nansu, but Nansu is only believed, as we said, the Pasuk in Shmo Yischav Bey, Shvus Hashem Tia Ben Shneyan. So, what kind of migui is that? On Hichzartiv, we don't know anywhere. It doesn't say in the Torah that there's a Shvua. So, you know, you're telling me I have a migui, I could have said Nansu. It's not a migui. Because if I would have said Nansu, I would have had to swear. And a person doesn't want to swear. Say something that could be a shvua sheker. He's afraid of that. So that's why he didn't say Nansu. He said Echzartiv. There is no shvua. So there's no migui of Nansu. He'd be petrified to say Nansu where he'd have to swear. So that, soif soif ki amalei Nansu, lav shvua boy. So Rav Chizda responded, Hachanami, my Nemon. You know what I meant that he's Nemon? Nemon b'shvua, ein Hachanami. When he says Echzartiv, he'll also have to swear. So there's a very important sma here in Chosh Mishpat, Reish, Tzadik Vav, Sifkot and Gimel, where the sma says that although we don't find a shvua for Echzartiv, but since you're believing Echzartiv here with a migui of Nansu, and since on Nansu he would have to swear, Shavuos Hashem Tia Ben Shneyam, if we're going to believe Echzartiv with a migui of Nansu, we'll have to transfer that shvu of Nansu over to Echzartiv. Otherwise, Taka, there wouldn't be any migui. That's what Rav Chizda is answering Rav Amram, that ain't a chanami. When I said Naman, it's only Naman if he's going to swear. It's only Naman if the Shomer says, I swear that Echzartiv. And then we'll believe him because he could have said Nansu and sworn on Nansu, so which would have been a better time. He wouldn't get into any issues with Ishtar Chabiyari, my boy. So therefore, we believe him with a migui, and it's not considered b'malkam edim, as Rav Chizda explained before, because he has a teretz. He can explain why he didn't insist on getting the shtar back, because he wasn't nervous about the mafkid coming to him again and saying, give me back my pekod and I have a shtar, because he always had in the back of his mind that he could use the excuse of Nansu, and that's why he didn't insist to get the shtar, and that's why it's not considered migui b'makom edim. And now the Gemara wants to say, lema b'pluk, the way we have the girsa in our Gemara is a very difficult one, dahani tanoi desanya. Let us say this is a machloikis in the following Tanoim, which we learned in a Braisa. And the Dikduke Seiferim, and it's also mashma like that from the Rashbam. If you look at the Rashbam on the third line, the Rashbam, the first Divri HaMaskel is Lema B'plukta, Hodar of Chizda, and then he says Shtar Kis. He skips the words Dahani Tanoi Desanya. And the Dikduke Seiferim has the same thing. And if you look further in the Rashbam on Daf Kuf Amid Aleph, where there's a similar sugya, which mentions the Dayane Goyla, the Rashbam is five lines from the bottom of the Amud, Hachi Garsinan, Dayane Goyla Amri, Kuf Amud Aleph, Vahainu Shmuel Vakarna. That's as the Rashbam mentioned here on Amud Aleph, that wherever it says Dayane Goyla, it refers to Shmuel and Karna. The Hilkach Loi Garsinan Tanya Damaroi Nidu. That's why the Rashbam says over there in the Gemara, you cannot learn Tanya because this is not a brice of Tanoim, because they were Amaroyim Shmuel and Karna. So we see the Rashbam here also left out the words Dahani Tanoi Desanya because Shmuel and Karna Amaroyim and they're not Tanoim, and therefore this could not have been a brice, but rather it was something that was said by the Amaroyim. So lema b'plukta, let us say that the aloch of Rav Chizda, that you're believed to say Hechzartiv with a migui of Nansu if you'll swear on Hechzartiv, and we don't consider it, even where it was written in a shtar, and the mafkid has the shtar to be a migui b'makom edim, the l'chayrit is a machloikis, as we're going to see between the Dayane Goyla and the Dayane Eretz Yisrael. And that's how we get into the sugya here, because we're mentioning Dayane Goyla as we did in the halacha of Cheruv that we learned on Amud Aleph, where we learned a halacha from the Dayane Goyla. So let's see the din. Shtar kiss hayoytza li yusaymim. And the Rashbam tells us that a shtar kiss refers to what is known as an iska, which we have in the Gemara in Ezun Neshech, Dav Samech Chesomet Beis, in Bava Metzia. And let us give a short hagdama of what a iska is. An iska is money that a financier invests with a money manager. He gives the capital to the money manager, and it's lemachtzis schar. They divide, if there's profits, they divide the profits in half. So the way it used to be, there was a change based on what Chazal did, and as the Nardoi will see in the sugya, will explain. But in the beginning, it was an investment from the financier giving the capital to the money manager, and the money manager would receive half of the profits, and that was like a payment for him managing, investing, buying schayra and selling the financier's schayra and making a profit. What happens if there was a loss? Then that loss would be entirely the financier's. So after a while, the financiers stopped this arrangement because the money manager had everything to gain. If there was a loss, let's say the financier gave him $10,000 and he would lose $5,000, so he'd give back the $5,000 that was left. And he said, sorry, it didn't work out. But he didn't lose anything. If it made profits, he would split the profits with the financier. But if it lost money, there would be no loss to the money manager. So the financiers began to stop this practice. So Chazal did something which the Rashbam on the fourth wide line says, Avod Rabbanin Milsa de Nichle Leloiva Venichle Lamalva de Ik Ksasachrayas Alzev Ksasalzev. So what they did was that Chazal said that the profits are shared in such an arrangement of an iska, and the losses are shared as well. How does this come about? Because, as the Nardoi will explain, the investment is considered a chotzi milva and a chotzi pekodin. So on the half, $10,000 was the total. So on the first $5,000, it's considered a loan, which the money manager at the end of the time of the investment has to give back the entire keren that was given to him by the financier. It's like a loan. So that half of the $10,000, that $5,000, the financier loses nothing. He's going to get back the whole $5,000. If there's a profit, the profit will go to the money manager from that half, which is a havah. So if he gains, he gains from that half. If he loses, he loses from that half because he has to give back to the money manager the entire amount of that half of the entire principal. The second half is a pikadon. There is where the financier makes his profit. Any profit of the pikadon part goes to the financier. Any loss of the pikadon part is taken by the financier. So if you look at the total picture of the whole 10,000, if there'll be a profit, it'll be shared in half. If there'll be a loss, it'll be split in half. The Rashbam points out in Divrei HaMaskil de Amri Nardoi from the Gemara in Bava Metzia that the way we have just explained it, it would come out that there could be some ribis involved here, because we could look at the work that the money manager does on the Pekodin side, that he's doing it because of the half loan. And that would be, if he gets the work that he's doing is like is giving back not only the half of the loan, but he's also giving back the work that he's doing for the financier. So that would be ribbis. So in order to avoid that, the financier has to accept upon himself that he will, if there's a loss, he will lose more than half in the entire amount. So now the money manager is working not because of the loan, but he's working for that amount that the financier has agreed to accept upon himself as a loss in case there is a loss. He takes an additional loss beyond that which the money manager takes, and that will avoid the problem of ribis. So now, based on this hakdama, let us go into the case here. So we learned that shtar kis, this refers to the iska that we have just discussed, which the Chazal did as a benefit to the loiv and the malva. Once the financier had this better arrangement, he was more eager to help the money manager, who usually was a poor person who didn't have capital. So it was a benefit that he would have money from which to make a parnasa, and it was a benefit for the financier that he had an investment where he wouldn't lose everything if there was a loss, and he would gain at least half, he would gain half if there was a profit. So it was good for both parties. So now the case over here was that such an arrangement was made between Reuven and Shimon. But Shimon was nifter, and now Reuven wrote a shtar of how much he's giving over to Shimon to invest, how much he wants Shimon to be a money manager over this $10,000, and it was written in a shtar. He comes to the Yosayim and he wants to get back his $10,000. Your father didn't give it back to me. So the Yosayim say, maybe he did give. We don't know what's going on with the business of our father. Or they say, we know for sure that he did give it back to you. So if, says the Rashbam, if this had been an outright loan that Reuven lent to Shimon and Shimon died, then everybody would agree that Reuven has to swear and he gets what's ever written in the shtar from the Yosayim. Because the rule is that Bezdin always timed this for the Yosayim, what the father, if he was here, could have timed it. But here, the father himself has no time, says the Rashbam, because he can't say it was Nansu, because Nansu is not a ptur by a halvo. And therefore he can't say, I gave it back to you with a migui of Nansu, because he has no migui of Nansu. So all that we would require from the financier, from Reuven, would be to swear that the father never paid him back. That's something that the father himself could make the financier swear. So the Yosayim, who don't know what's going on with their father, we tine it for them. Bezdin is an advocate for them, and therefore he would swear, and once he would swear, he would get his entire chulv. Our shail over here, which is going to be a machloikis between Dayan Goel and Dayan Eretz Yisrael, is in a case of the Iska, which based on the Takanas Chazal has turned into a chotzi halvo and a chotzi pekodin. So on the chotzi halvo, again, he swears and he takes that entire half. The question is, what about on the half that is a pekodin? And here we're going to have a machloikis between the Dayan Goyla, who, as we've mentioned before, are Shmuel and Karna, versus the Dayan Eretz Yisrael, who are, Rashbam brings down, Rav Ami and Rav Asi, again, from that Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, where the Gemara there tells us titles of various Tanoim and Amoraim, who it was referring to. Whenever you say Dayan Goyla, you mean Shmuel and Karna. Wherever in Shas we find Dayan Eretz Yisrael, you mean Rav Ami and Rav Asi. So now we're going to have this machlokes, and we'll see what this has to do with Amud Aleph, what Rav Chisda said. Let's go into the Gemara, third line on Amud Bey. Shtar kis hayoyts ali yisaimim. this iska Reuven brought against the assignment. So Dayani, Goyle, Shmuel, and Karna Amri, they said, Nishba v'goy v'kuloy. Not only does he swear to get the half that is a loan, but he can even swear to get the half that is a pekod. Now we'll soon see the swar. V'dayani, Yerzrol Amri, and Ravami and Ravasi, they say, Nishba v'goy v'mechza, that all he could swear on Reuven can only swear and collect half, which is a halva. But on the half that's a pekod, he cannot swear and take it from the assignment. So now we're going to explain the machloikus. Ude kuli alma islahu dinardoi. The Rashbam says this is the correct girsa, and he says Rabbeinu Chananel had this girsa as well. Everybody holds like Nardoi. What did Nardoi say? We've mentioned it already before in Dagdama. The Amri Nardoi, hi iska, this iska, the way Chazal set it up to benefit the malva and the loiva, is palga malva, milva, upalga pekod. Half of it is considered a milva, and half of it is considered a pekod. So now that we've established that, my love, ultimately, now we understand what the machloikis is. The mar sover motzi armalei shtarcha biyari, my boy, that one shita holds that the other one can say to him, what is your, Reuven can say to the Yisraimim, what is your star doing in my hand? This will be the Dayani Goyla who say, nishba v'goy v'kuloi. Umar Sover and the Dayani Eretz Yisrael hold, according to way the Bachas Goyres, Loi Motzi Omer Lei Shtar Chabiyari, my boy, that he cannot say Shtar Chabiyari, my boy. In other words, the Dayane Goyla Shmuel and Karna do not agree with Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda and Amar Av said that if you have a pekodin on which a shtar was written, so even though the shomer can say chazartiv with a migui of nansu, and he'll swear on chazartiv just like he'll swear on nansu, but it's a migui b'makom edim because the mafkid can say shtarcha biyadi, my boy, and that's like edim. Why didn't you ask for your shtar back? So since it's migui b'makom edim, we don't accept the migui. So just like we wouldn't accept it for the father, we wouldn't be able to tie into this for the assignment as well. So Dayani Goyla will say, Nishba v'goy v'kulei, not only on the half that's a halva, but even on the half that's a pekodin, because they disagree with Rav Chisda. They hold that even on a pekodin, which is written in a shtar, we don't believe the shomer to say chazartiv with a migi of nansu, because it's a migi of makom edim, because of shtar chabiyari, my boy, which is tantamount to edim. If you returned it, why didn't you take the shtar back? So it's like Adim saying that you did not return it, and that's why you did not take the shtar back. And Migi Malkam Adim is not believed. So therefore, Reuven is believed with a shvua to take it away from the assignment. Umar Sover, however, the Dayani Eretz Yisrael of the opinion that Nishba V'goyve Mechza, no, he only gets the Alvo. He doesn't get the Pekodin part. Why? Because they hold Loi Motzi Armalei Shtarcha Biyadi, my boy. They agree with Rav Chisda, and Rav Chisda holds that the Mafkid cannot say Shtarcha Biyadi, my boy. It's not considered a Migim Mokim Edim, as the Rashbam explained on Amud Aleph, because the Shomer can say, I didn't insist to get back the shtar because I felt that if he'll come after me again with the shtar, I'll always be able to say Nansa. And that's why it's not considered like to aid them, the fact that you still have the shtar. I have a migra, I could have said Nansa, and I didn't insist on the shtar because I knew I could always resort to Nansa, so I didn't bother to insist that you give me back the shtar. Therefore, it's not tantamount to two edim, it's not a migim makam edim, and therefore, on the half of Pekodin, the Reuven is not believed, even with a shvua, to take it away from the assignment. So, l'chayra, the machloikis between Dayani Goyla, and that's why we're bringing the whole sugi in here, because of Shmuel and Karna, that we mentioned on Amud Aleph, The Dayani Goyla don't hold like Rav Chisda, and the Dayani Eretz Yisrael hold like Rav Chisda. Zok de Gemara, loy, that is not correct. The Kuli Alma is Lud Rav Chisda. We could really say that everybody holds like Rav Chisda. If this was speaking about the father and not the Yisoyimim, then everybody would hold like Rav Chisda, that he would be believed to say exarted with a Migi of Nansu, and it's not Migi B'makam Edim, because we will not say Shtar Chabiyot, my boy, V'hacha, and over here, by Yisoyimim specifically, V'hacha Miflgi, here is where the Machloikis is between the Dayan and Goyle and the Dayan and Eretz Yisrael. The Mar Sover, Because the Dayani Goyla who hold that Nishba v'Goyva Kuloi, that Reuven can swear and take not only the half of Milva, but can even take the half of Pikadon, they hold Im Isa de Pare, Meim HaVomer. This person is dying. So wouldn't he tell his children on his deathbed, wouldn't he tell them, by the way, if Reuven comes to you and asks you to give him back his investment with me, make sure that you tell him that I gave it back to him. And he didn't tell that to his children. His children don't know about it. Nobody knows about it. Wouldn't he have said it? So as the Rashbam explains, so now there's two things that are working against the Yesoimim. Number one, because the financier Reuven has the shtar. And he says, shtar chabiyari, my boy. And secondly, that nobody knows that that their father didn't tell anybody that he had paid it back. So with these two chesroinis together, the Rashbam says here, we won't taina this for the assignment. Normally, whatever the father can taina, we taina for the assignment. And then, if the father would be alive, he would be believed, and we would not give that half to Reuven. Reuven would not be able to get that half. However, now that he died, we don't give the taina to the assignment because they have these two strikes against them. That's what the Dayani Goyla hold. Umar Sover, Amer, we could say, Malchamov, Sudanse, that he was going to tell it to his children before he died. And he died suddenly. And before he was able to say this, tell it over to his children, the Malchamov snatched his life away and he wasn't able to relate it to his children. So just because he didn't tell it over to his children is not a proof against him. And therefore, Yesoimim are no different than the father himself. Whatever we taina for the father, we'll taina for the Yesoimim. The only thing the Rashbam says is that the Yesoimim will need to swear Shaloi Pokadnu Abba. The Gemara in Shavuos tells us that they'll have to say a Shavua that our father didn't tell us before he died, that he didn't pay this back and we owe it and we have to give it over to Reuven. They'll have to make that shvua. But once they make that shvua, then we will award that half to them and we will not give it over to Reuven. We will not obligate the children to pay that half back to Reuven. So it's not a machloikis in Rav Chisda. Everybody holds like Rav Chisda when it involves the father. The question is, do you also accept Rav Chisda when it has to do with the assignment? Shalach Rav Huna bar Avin sent the following halacha. He sent two halachas, and the two halachas seem to be in contradiction, steer one to the other. The first halacha is, Hamafket Eitzel Chaver Bishtar, if somebody made a pekodin by his friend with a shtar, Va'amar Loi, and the Shomer said to the Mafket, Hechzarti Loch, I have returned it to you, Nemon. He's believed. This is exactly like Rav Chisda Paskin. He's believed with a migui of Nansu. And we don't say shtar chabiyot, my boy. It's not considered migbe makam edim. He's believed that I returned it. But second halacha, v'shtar kis hayoytzal yisaimim. But this iska, which was written up in a shtar, and Reuven is claiming that their father Shimon never returned the investment. The din is nishba v'goyve kuloi, that he swears that he was never paid by the father, and he's able to collect the whole thing from the assignment. This is like the Dayane Goyla, like Shmuel and Karna, that says that he gets the whole thing. So the Gemara asked Tarti, this is a stira. First you tell me that the father is believed to say Hezartiv with the Migri of Nansu, like Rav Chisda, and then you tell me that we don't say the same thing for the children. Bezdin doesn't tiny that when it comes to the children. When it comes to the children, on the half that's a pekodin, we say that they have to pay up that half. And we don't tiny it for them hechzartiv with a migui of Nansu as we would for the father. Seems to be a contradiction. The answer is shiny hossam. The case of Yisoyimim is different. Exactly as we said before. The im isa de pare. If the father had indeed paid up to the financier, to Reuven, Meimer HaVomer. He would have said it before he died. He would have let his children know that. And since he didn't let them know, there's two strikes against them. So here, the Dayane Goyla are of the opinion that we don't apply Rav Chisda's din. We don't taina it for the assignment, even if the father would have been believed with this taina. what is the halacha l'maisa? So Rav Amar Hilchasa Nishba V'goyve Mechza. Rav Paskins like the Dayani Eretz Yisrael that he swears even by Yisoymim, the Reuven will swear on the half of Halva and he'll only be able to collect that half. He will not be able to collect the half of Pekodin because we'll tine it for the Yisoymim as we would for the father. Amr Mar Zutra, Hilchasa Halacha is Kedayani Goyla. He paskas like Shmuel and Karna, which we saw on the fourth line of this Amud, Dayani Goyla Amri, Nishba V'goy V'kuloi. So he, L'chaira, is arguing with Rava. And that's exactly what Ravin is going to ask Mar Zutra. Amle Ravila Mar Zutra, Ho Amr Rava Nishba V'goy V'machsa. Rava said that he's Nishba V'goy V'machsa, which was like the Dayani Eretz Yisrael. And are you arguing on Rava, who said like the Dayani Eretz Yisrael, you seem to be paskin like Shmuel and Karna, Dayani of the Goyla, of the diaspora, Amar Lei. So Mar Zutra responded, no, I'm pasking like Rava. I said the halacha is that the halacha is like the Dayani Goyla, Anan, the Dayani Goyla, as we turn to Ayin Aleph Amid Aleph, Ifcha Masnina La. We learned the opposite. The way we were makabel the machloikis between the Dayani Goyla and the Dayani Yisrael was that the Dayani Goyla said Nishba V'goyva Mechza, and it was the Dayani Eretz Yisrael who paskin Nishba V'goyva Kula. So we Ein Echanami, I'm going like Rava. And Rav Chizda's halacha doesn't only apply to the father, it applies to the Yisoymim as well. And that's why the Dayana Goyla, according to my version, Paskin, even by the Yisoymim, that all Reuven gets is Nishba V'goyva Mechza. He only collects the half of the Halva, where we can't believe him to say Paraticha with a migri of Nansu. However, on the other half, the Bikodin, not only do we believe the father to say it, we even believe the children, we paskin like Rav Chizda, and we even paskin like Rav Chizda by Yisoymim. That's what Rava holds, and I say that the Dayani Goyla paskin like Rava because I have it inverted, that the Dayani Goyla are in fact the ones who say Nishba V'goyva Mechza, that Reuven cannot collect the Pekodin from the Yisoymim. And so, according to Rava and Mar Zutra, remains the halacha like the Dayani Goyla, who are Shmuel and Karna.